Hey there, Nerd Clan. Head on over to the Mary and Blake store for all of the best nerd swag from all the different things that we offer. I mean, you can even get your brand new Keep Calm and Crown On products, including, of course, Betty's Balmoral Biddy's shirt. You don't want to miss out. So let your nerd flag fly. That's hard to say. The nerd flag fly high at themaryandblakestore.com.
Perhaps the hardest is that I am obliged to support my prime ministers on any position they take, even yours, regarding sanctions against South Africa. My question is, given the lack of impact it has on your day-to-day political fortunes, yet how important it is to me, could you not have supported me just once? My fellow Commonwealth leaders, many of whom I consider to be friends, now feel that I have betrayed them on an issue most important to them.
Well, they need only read the Sunday Times. It will give them no doubt as to your position.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Keep Calm and Crown On. It's a podcast dedicated to the crown on Netflix. So grab your best cup of tea and let's get royal. And welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I would not want to be in the middle of this battle. You know, immovable object means an unstoppable force.
Okay.
What wins? I mean, well, we kind of end up knowing what wins, but still, regardless, this is one of those battles that just a man should not be involved.
A person.
Anybody. But I'm just saying, I would not. No way. No way. I would not want to argue with Margaret Thatcher, and I'm definitely not arguing with Betty.
Nobody. Nobody. My goodness gracious.
Oh, man. So thank you, everybody, for if you're following us in live time, just being patient with us. We've essentially done, by the time this is all said and done, we'll have done 12 podcasts in about 8 days.
It's a lot.
Which is a lot.
And watched a lot of TV.
So,
and then podcasted right about it. So our brains have been a little bit fried. And then, of course, we have our time with our children and the rest of our lives. So it's all good. And of course, we would love to remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast. You can also find us on all social media outlets at maryandblake.com. You can head over to the Mary and Blake store to get your favorite nerd swag. And of course, we would be remiss if we did not thank the patrons at jointhenerdclan.com for making this year podcast possible. Let's get into the show.
Let's do it.
All right, Blake. So give me some of the details when it comes to this episode.
The title was 48-1, which is an obvious reference to the sanctions against the South African government for the apartheid, and the 48 countries in the Commonwealth all approved the sanctions except one. That, of course, being England, and that being a big point of contention between your girl Betty and
she's not my girl.
And Mags, rather.
Neither of them are my girl.
So the director was Julian Gerald. He has directed Act of God, Gelignite, Terra Nullius, and obviously this episode. And I forgot to mention, for those of you Outlander nerds out there, that he has also directed Ron Moore's Electric Dreams, which is on Amazon, which was the show that Ron Moore kind of stepped away from Outlander for. This was the one that he went and did his own thing and kind of left everything in towards season 3 of Outlander. That's when he left Matt Roberts and Tony Graffia in charge. So I thought that was just an interesting thing. He has worked with Ron Moore, and we know a lot of you nerds out there love Outlander. So the writer was Peter Morgan, of course, the showrunner for The Crown. And Mary, it's time for your Corgi's rating.
My Corgi rating is a 4.2.
Wow, that's pretty low for you.
It is very low for
me. Why so low, Marvin?
You'll see why.
Okay, fine, fair enough. For me, I'm actually going to give it a 4.8.
Which is high for you.
That is very high for me. And the reason why I'm giving it a 4.8 is because it was different. It was it's very easy to get stuck in the comfortable places when you're doing a television show, especially when you're reverting to the things that The Crown is good at, the political intrigue and dealing with the queen and everything and how she has to maneuver things. But it wasn't just the same old. It was different, and it was different in many ways. And obviously, we will get into that, I think, for the rest of this episode. But in the meantime, my love, your GBGs, what do you have?
My good was just simply the typescript that was showing up as the author Michael was like penning his stuff. It was just a different effect that we hadn't had before, and I just thought, oh, isn't that lovely? My bad is I got really bored in this episode. I cared most about the writer, Michael.
Really?
That's who I cared about. And that's my thing. Like, am I supposed to not like anyone right now aside from Anne and Margaret and Michael? Because that's how I feel. I was like, on the Charles train.
Well,
and
which Margaret?
Princess Margaret.
Princess, okay, cool.
Yeah, Princess Margaret, Princess Anne. I'm on their choo-choo train. Woo-woo!
Yep.
But like I had been on the Prince Charles train last year or last season, not on it now.
That's
jumped
totally
off that
true.
Thing.
Yep, way
that's
off.
Gone.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, Elizabeth, the Queen, not on her train. Nope.
Yeah, you know, nope. I don't blame you for that, but why do you think that you're not on her train at this moment?
Because she is a mean person and an uncompassionate mother. And I am just all set. And the fact that she doesn't care about her kids, doesn't care when Diana hugs her, literally has to have a sheet of paper about her kids' hobbies, cares so much more about other aspects in life rather than her own family, and then sacks Michael. After he tells her, listen, I don't think this is a good idea. And she's just like, whatever, I'm going to run my mouth and do what I want because somebody's going to clean up the
In all fairness, it was not her idea. It was her private secretary's idea. All fairness.
She's like, I want to tell the truth. Is it going to be that bad if I actually tell the truth? Because I don't agree with her.
No, what I mean is like getting rid of Michael Shea. That was not necessarily, at least the way that the show was saying it. It was not necessarily her.
Please. She did not feel bad whatsoever. She watched him leave. She was like, sucks to suck.
I may differ with you on
Look
that
Look at
one.
The queen in her castle. All right. How about you?
All right. I have a tie for my good. The first one is that Peter Morgan, as we have discussed in this season of The Crown, I think has done a much better job connecting all
better.
The
much better.
A much better job connecting all the episodes. And they are done in big ways and they are done in small ways. And in this case, this episode connects back to Fagin. And it is done in a small way. And Elizabeth is saying that her family is the Commonwealth, that she knows all these people. She considers them family.
She doesn't know her own family.
Well, that's one thing that we're going to get into, I think. But she considers them family, and she wants the best for the Commonwealth. Mm. And that was partially already established in the fact that she knew that vase that was broken, all the little details about that vase, about the Guyanese vase. And because of that, it's just one of those. It's one of those small little details that, when she does say, "I care about them as family," it doesn't come out of nowhere. Mm-mm. It's already established in Fagin in a small way. But the other part that's really good for me is seeing Claire Foy as the 21-year-old princess. Now, granted,
that was a surprise.
I have not watched, as you know, the first two seasons, but that does not. It doesn't. The story that Peter Morgan is trying to tell does not blow past me. I see what he's trying to do and what he's trying to say. The kind of growth that Elizabeth has had since her taking the reins as queen in 1953. And bringing Claire Foy back is a great way to do that. The bad for me is also having to do with Elizabeth, in that I kind of wish we got a chance to see her interact a little bit more with some of the leaders from the Commonwealth to actually establish a real relationship, so that when she says to Margaret Thatcher, "This is my family. These are people matter to me," I wish we actually had some kind of interaction between them to legitimize that. Mm. It might have been hard to do so, but I feel like it probably would have made everything just a little bit better if we had that. And the great for me, of course, is at the end of the episode, Mary, and you and I differ in this instance. You think that she doesn't care that Michael Shea has been sacked. My contention is that she does. And she spent the entire episode talking about how the Commonwealth is her family, that she will serve them no matter what. And she does something that is self-serving when she goes and says to Margaret, to the press,
yeah,
"This is how I feel."
Yes.
And the one self-serving thing that she does in politics, I mean, I'm sure there are others, but in this particular case, the one self-serving thing that she does ends up in Michael Shea getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
And what's great about it is that as she's looking out the window, in the foreground, you see Elizabeth and her reflection facing her.
Yes.
So she has to look herself in the mirror and say, "What did I do?
You know you did.
Is this something, can I face my own reflection? Can I face this decision? Can I stare at myself in the mirror and be okay with the person that I've become?" And that's why I think that she does care about the idea of getting Michael Shea fired. And that is my great. I love those visual representations of a struggle that is, you don't have to be told, it's just showing you. Mm-hmm. And I find that awesome. So what do you think, Mary? Where do you want to begin with this one? I know you said you were bored, but what bored you in particular?
You know, I want to think of it less as bored and more as disappointed. Just disappointed to see what we thought was going to be a great relationship between the Queen and the mm-hmm. Prime Minister just completely deteriorate.
Yep.
To see the Queen go to such great lengths for, you know, for the people in South Africa, and yet wouldn't even hug Diana. I mean, I'll be real. Like, I appreciate that the Queen took a stance on this. I really do. And I think that it, obviously, you know, in hindsight, it was the right stance. And I'm glad that she fought for it and got to hear the people of her Commonwealth. I loved that shot when we were hearing the younger version of the Queen and we got to see all the different people of the countries that yeah. she ruled over. It was just really neat. But we've spent all this time with the intimate family, mm-hmm. and it's just such a foil to how she is as a mother, as she is with this family. I just feel like you can't trust her. And maybe it's because she always has to make what she thinks is the right decision for the country, but she does put that over family. And with all this words of family interwoven into the speech,
right.
we've seen what she's done to Margaret. We've seen what she's done to her kids and to Diana.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to be that old hag in The Princess Bride. Liar! Like, family would not be the word that I would use.
Sure.
So I think I just felt very icky.
Yep.
Maybe not bored. I just felt very icky, and there was very few moments of joy.
It feels disingenuous then.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Fair enough. Let's go over the Commonwealth real quick, mm-hmm. The history of it all. It's the Commonwealth of Nations, generally known as the Commonwealth. And as of right now, it has 54 member states. Nearly all of them are former territories in the British Empire. The Commonwealth was actually created in 1946, it looks like. Yes. I'm sorry. I apologize. It was 1926 when it was created, and it was basically all of the former colonies of the United Kingdom or of Great Britain, and they all came together to try to make a better world and be family for each other, be there for each other to help promote the same things, promote mm-hmm. the English language, promote the the idea of democracy. Well, not democracy, but the idea of all similar ideals of the British Empire. And actually, now it is, like I said, it has 54 member states, 16 of which the Queen is the head of state. And right now, the Commonwealth of the Realms, they have 33 other members, and they are republics, and five others actually have different monarchs.
Wow.
Yeah. So not all of them are just part of the British or were part of the British Empire. They're just free to join, and anybody is free to join as long as they help promote the same ideals. And they have no legal obligations to one another. They're just connected through their use of the English language and historical ties. So that is what is they stated. Well, their stated shared values of democracy, human rights, and the rule of law are enshrined in the Commonwealth Charter.